Columbus State Community College is a place that changes lives. A college that opens doors to well-paid careers in healthcare, engineering, IT, and more. An affordable college that offers the flexibility to balance work, family, and school. An open, supportive college where more than 40,000 students every year get education to improve their lives. Columbus State, the smart choice for what's next. Spring semester starts January 19th. Apply today at cscc.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud.
I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for-
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and I am your host for Keeping It Real on Purpose. And today, we have a most exciting guest, but I want to tell you more about what you, who, where you are. You are in the place where you thought you wouldn't be, because this is a podcast for all around women where we challenge your everyday thinking and limiting beliefs around life, relationships, and business to help you live your life purposely. I want to introduce our guest today, which I'm so excited about. She is an author, a podcaster, intuitive healer, spiritual guide, and her business is Live an Empowered Life. I want to introduce today Susan Burrell to my audience. Welcome today, Susan. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thanks, Edna. I'm great.
Good. I am so excited that you're here today, and I love spontaneity. I love that you're in California because I can feel the heat. And I'm in Long Island.
Over to you.
Send it,
going
girl.
All the
send
way
it. Send it. Send it to me, because on Long Island we need some heat. Mm-hmm. And you know, today is Groundhog Day. Some say that the groundhog didn't see their shadow. Our Long Island Hal did see his shadow, and we're going to be in spring. So we're believing that, because now we've got the California heat coming our way. We believe in it right today. So how, I want to know about your business. Tell me about your business.
Well, I work with women. I'm a woman's advocate. I have been since I was probably a teenager, because I grew up during the time of the women's liberation movement, you know. So I've always seen women as leaders and powerful individuals. And so what I've been doing for the last 25 years has been teaching and coaching clients to really find their inner self-esteem and inner empowerment, not bringing it from the outside in, but learning how to live your life from a place of worth and value and esteem from the inside out.
Ah, very good. Yeah, and we know that women do need that because we're nurturers and we forget about ourselves. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We've been culturally for centuries just being a woman. It doesn't matter what color you are, what belief system or what religion you're brought up in. But for centuries, women were always considered hysterical.
Very good word. I love it. Very good word.
We would faint at the slightest thing, or we were the workhorses, you know, taking care of the house and the whatever, and never really seen as a full, whole, intelligent human being. And so lots of men, sorry, I don't mean to be trashing
men.
No, say it. It's good. Because a lot of men grew up in the same kind of mindset that, you know, behind every good man is a woman or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. And so there, it was just, they see their fellow men, you know, in the good old boys club taking advantage of women, and they think that that's okay.
Right.
And so many of us, you know, my own mother didn't have a whole lot of self-esteem, fabulous woman. But she, you know, she was in that era, the 50s and 60s, where somebody has to stay home.
Yeah, Generation X.
Yeah, she never thought about going to work.
No.
Until she was an empty nester, and then she was like, oh, maybe I should do something, right. But what am I going to do?
Right.
Right? And she was great at being a mom and a Girl Scout leader or whatever it was, you know, a chauffeur, you know. And I just think that we have gone through generation after generation after generation of not being seen and heard for the intelligent, creative, powerful people that we are. Right. And how cool, Edna, is it that we are living right now where we get to see women younger than us standing up and saying, I'm right here. Here I am.
Right.
Look at me.
That's right. And the voice is very important.
Huge. Women were not allowed a voice.
Right. That's really huge. And when you said centuries, I've interviewed a lot of women, and they've never said centuries. They never went back to centuries. And we have to be very conscious of that centuries we were given a role. We were given, we weren't, you know, we didn't create our roles. We were given a role. You have to be home, have children, take care of those children, raise them, be silent, and then teach your children how to be silent along with that, because they had their place too. But it was always that men had a place more statuesque than us.
Yes.
And I find it very intriguing how men now have trophy wives. And
oh,
that intrigues me.
I just want to pull their hair out. Sorry.
You don't want to pull your hair out. You want to pull their hair out. Yes. I found that very intriguing that now we're trophy wives. You know, we have to get the fake boobs. You know, we got to push them up and we got to look good to make them look good. But before that, we made them look good. We picked out their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We sewed their clothes. We sewed them. We didn't go to the store and pick them out. We sewed them, put them together, made them look nice. And if we're biblical people, they knew who you were by the way your clothes were sewed and put together because of your wife.
Oh, I've not heard that before. Wow.
Yes, in the Bible, they say they knew who you were married to by the way that your clothes were sewed.
Wow.
So we played a bigger part than we want to, I guess, I don't want to say admit, but I'm going to say it. Can I say it? Admit. Because our voices were so not heard. And in other countries, their voices not being heard. But I want to talk about how women can now be a voice. And I want you to share how you create that voice for them.
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of my clients that I've worked with for over the last couple of years, she has become a phenomenal woman. But when she first came to me, she didn't have a voice. She didn't even know that she was kind of allowed to be somebody who is not married. She was going through a second divorce. Ooh. Her kids were out of the house, you know, and she didn't even know how to love or respect herself. And right. She couldn't speak up.
Right.
You know, I would watch her and she would just kind of, now she tells you exactly what she thinks, when she thinks
it. That is excellent. Know?
And kind of gets herself in a little trouble because of that. But so learning how to speak up is, okay, I'm just going to say this, Edna.
Yes, go ahead. I'm with you.
Many women have had to hide.
Yes.
Over the generations,
mm-hmm.
because of all sorts of things.
Right.
We can talk about rape. We can talk
right.
about during the time of when women were property owners in their own right.
Absolutely.
Like in the 1700s.
Right.
And men would covet their property. Right.
Right.
Land owners and things.
That's
like
what
that.
Covet comes from. Hello.
Covet, yep. And so the men would then point to the woman, most often it was a woman, and say, oh, she's a witch.
Right.
Right. And so then, you know, I went to Scotland years ago while I was going through a horrific divorce, trying to find myself because I didn't know who I was at that point. And I was with this lovely group and we went to the foot of these huge cliffs, and at the foot of the cliffs was this big kirk, a churchyard,
mm-hmm.
You know, some graves. And the woman leading the tour said that women, land owning women or wealthy women, were accused of being witches. And what they would do in this little village is they'd walk them up to the top of the cliff and push the women off. Mm. And if they flew, they were witches.
Mm-hmm.
And if they fell, splat, oh,
right.
well, she wasn't a witch.
Right.
And the men would get their property.
Right.
And so there's so many different ways of compromising women over the centuries. That's why I said centuries. And, defiling women or subjugating women or, making them feel absolutely worthless.
Right.
And then what happens is, you said something about generational.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is our mothers who didn't know what
right.
they, you know, didn't know better, didn't
right.
know they could be something different or more, or felt that they wanted to be something different or more and just mm-hmm. never had mm-hmm. the avenue, would pass down these learned behaviors
mm-hmm.
or belief systems.
Right.
And the fathers did too, you know, because they didn't know, the men didn't know any better either. So,
right.
So now when I work with women, helping them find their voice, first they have to find themselves within.
Right.
And by that, I mean, they really have to begin to trust and listen to their inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I often tell people that, because this is just the truth, I think. Truth by Susan, you know, that we are all divine sparks. We
mm-hmm.
are all individuated divine sparks of divinity. And
mm-hmm.
and that
Absolutely.
Divinity has implanted within our heart, not our heads, our inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come to earth and we start living our life and we completely forget that we are a spark of the divine, that we are
yes.
part of that big, 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 whatever you want to put the label on. You can say, you know, God or
universal. Yeah. Universal,
universal
plan. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but we forget that. And women, I don't really know why, if it's our brains wired differently or the chemicals in our body, or maybe we're just a little more advanced, but women often have that intuitiveness to them, that, you know, that intuition mm-hmm. that used to scare men too, right? Hey, that's why they were saying you're a witch, you know, mm-hmm. because you could.
Because we knew them better than they knew themselves. Because
exactly.
why? Why? Tell me why.
Well, I think it's it when you, okay, I can only speak from my experience. When I was so downtrodden from a 28-year marriage to a narcissist who mm-hmm. gaslighted me, and I didn't know, and he didn't, I'm pretty sure he didn't know what he was doing.
Oh, sure.
But yeah.
I was married to one. Oh, sure, they do.
Okay, so, right. So, you know, so when I was going through divorce, I decided I really, well, first of all, I recognized that I didn't love myself.
Right.
I had been consistently, daily taught that I was worthless.
Yeah.
In order to make him look good. And so when I was going into divorce, it was like, well, who's going to want this little pitiful person? Right. And, you know, I didn't respect myself. I was already doing all great work. You know, I was, I'd been teaching spiritual principle for 20 years. I was working with clients. I was helping clients heal belief mm-hmm. systems mm-hmm. and turn their lives around. But I hadn't done it yet for myself, even though I thought I had, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So my awakening during divorce was first the heart shattering and then really deciding who am I and beginning to love myself for the very first time.
Right.
And in that loving myself and learning how to respect myself more than I ever had, I began to find my own voice. And so that's why I think it's so important for women to really anchor into their the wisdom of their heart and trust themselves and trust their intuition,
mm-hmm.
especially if you've been traumatized. It's hard to trust yourself.
Absolutely. Totally
so
agree
with
that.
Learning how to trust yourself gives you a foundation to then explore yourself and who you are and what is your purpose in life. What is it that you're here to be seen and speak. And many women have not been seen and heard. You're standing right next to these amazing human beings and they don't feel seen and heard.
Right.
You know, I'm one of them.
Right.
So it took a long time for me,
absolutely.
I'm still working on it,
right.
to be seen and heard for the value and the humanity that I am, do you know?
Absolutely.
Not the by value I mean, the expertise I bring or the wisdom I bring or the love I bring, but not because I add to the masculine value.
Right. And I think I can say this to you because as a Black woman, it's even more downtroddenness. So when we're, as a woman, we have a second layer because we're Black.
Yes.
And then that's a whole nother digging out. So you got a child who's traumatized inside of you, who's traumatized, digging out. They get to the first layer as being a child who's a woman. They get to the first layer. They start trusting themselves, right? They start trusting.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm here. I'm a woman. And then they get to the second layer and there's a, like they're hitting the glass ceiling. Like, what the heck is going on? Then we have to then now conquer that.
Yeah.
And I think I can say this to you because let me tell you, audience, I just met her. Okay. the energy precedes what we see in color. The energy, I'm going to say it again, the energy precedes what we see in color or what we see visually.
Yes.
And I can say this to you that it's very hard to trust yourself after two layers. So one layer is very difficult to get above. You know, you're struggling. Just imagine a seed being planted and having to go through all that dirt and then get to this. There's a ceiling, a second ceiling there. So I really like what you're saying about women in general. And let's keep it at that, women in general, because we have to go through so many layers. And I write about this in my book, the stuff that no one told us about being an adult after childhood sexual abuse. That's where I came from. And I say we're like an onion, because an onion, no matter what utensil you can use the quickest one. Your eyes are going to water, okay? going to water. And every time you get to that layer, you can peel the first layer, which is the shell part that kind of protects it. But once you get to that second layer, there's a third layer that now is the heart of everything. And it's important to know that that heart of everything, we're going to cry a little bit. And let's talk about our emotional, because we tend not to take care of the emotional part. Let's talk about that emotional part and how to deal with that emotional part, because that has to do with trust.
Yes, and self-trust.
That's right.
I think.
That's right.
And trusting that you're not going to dissolve into a nothingness because you're sobbing your brains out.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know.
Yes, you do.
In my family of origin, there was this be strong, right?
Right. No, they told us that too.
My mother used to tell me, don't put your feelings out on your sleeve for everybody.
Absolutely.
Don't show everybody who you are.
Absolutely.
So I began to hide, and my emotions, and I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, so am I.
Oh my God.
No way. What's your birthday?
So we're volatile, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
what's your birthday?
When I get triggered, it's get out of my way.
What's your birthday?
November 3rd.
I'm November 4th.
Edna, this was meant to be.
It was. Really was. Go ahead.
So what I found when I was going through divorce, which was not my biggest life challenge, but it was definitely, it's on that list.
Mm-hmm.
I realized I'd been suppressing my rage.
Oh.
For 28 years. Well, probably all my life.
Absolutely. Me too.
But suppressing your rage for so long. Mm-hmm. And what happened is, the divorce became so contentious that I was hiving. I had hives all over my body. I kid you not, from my eyebrows down to my ankles for 1 year.
Mm.
And I'd never had a hive before. I didn't know what they were, and I could not get rid of them. I think I was hive-free that year, maybe 2 days.
Wow.
And it was so uncomfortable. And at some point, I went to one of my spiritual healers, one of my mentors, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And how do I make it stop? And she said, it's your rage coming in. It's literally bursting out through your skin because it was so unaddressed. And so now I know, having cleared a lot of that, those energy blocks within me that kept me from expressing my anger, I know if I get one little itchy, like behind my ear, I'm like, all right, wait a minute, sit down. What did I just get angry about?
Yep,
that I didn't pick up about? Or
that you're not speaking. Yes, exactly. Say that again, because that's important. And I do truly believe that our emotions get trapped in our bodies and we become diseased.
Yes, that's exactly what happened to me, Ed and I was in a marriage that I knew really wasn't right for me, but I couldn't face it because I had taken my marriage vows, very seriously.
Yeah. But who told you that?
Huh?
Who told you that?
That I took them seriously?
Yeah. Somebody told us that we should take those
things seriously.
Yes.
But I don't know. I feel very naive, I get taken. Sometimes which is why trust is a challenge for me, because I trust.
Right.
And then I get taken advantage of. Yeah. But So now I digress. I forget where I was going.
Go ahead, Edith. Go ahead, Edith Bunker.
Oh, about the disease. So because I was ignoring the unhappiness that I felt, and, mm-hmm. and this really right. wasn't a good yes. relationship for me.
Absolutely.
I ignored it for so long that I almost died. I became a type 1 diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 24 hours from death.
Wow.
And insulin dependent immediately. And for anybody who's listening, I'm telling you, if it boils down to two choices, do I live or do I die? You're going to take this shot.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you're going to take the shot because you want to live. And that's what happened to me. So I really began to investigate how our unexposed belief systems, let me put it that way. The belief system, there's belief systems that we all have that help us get through life. But right. some of them are unexposed in their family of origin belief systems right. or their cultural belief mm-hmm. systems. And I would imagine that Black women have a really heavy, heavy belief system layered on them.
Yeah.
We which do. Is not true. It's right. not true.
No, it's
but
not.
But that's your set. That's your two layers. Maybe there's three layers, Edna. Yikes.
Yeah, there's a lot. Through. Absolutely.
So the belief that the beliefs that we hold that we do not address, that we do not wake
up to. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Being that we're spiritual beings, if we're not awake to that, then it hides in energy systems in our body and becomes various points of dis-ease.
Yes.
And I would go so far as to say, not to make anybody's reality, not to diss it, but what we're seeing with COVID, we get to see, are we living or are we dying?
Right.
You know, and it's done unto you as you believe. And if Absolutely. You've got a lot of emotion behind that belief, emotion being fear, anger,
right.
shame, it makes the belief manifest.
Exactly.
Basically. But you conversely, you can change that focus, change your intention not focusing on I'm worthless, but that I'm worthy, or in my case, I had to focus on I'm lovable.
Right.
I love myself and I'm lovable.
Right.
And the more I focused on that, the more my life transformed for the better.
Exactly.
For and that's, better. And that's what important. I teach my clients, because you can't, the pockets of blocked energy is what makes us age as well. I
Absolutely.
Think.
And I don't believe that like you are so right. And I can say from both sides of, you know, being a science and biblical, because, you know, biblical is not really science, but biblically, audience, we can say that a lot of the women and men were hundreds of years old.
Yes.
Why? Because they spoke what they believed. They acknowledge their emotions because they were part of them. Why were they given to us? Why do we experience them? Because they were given to us to acknowledge. But at the end of it is to have... Ayanna Van Zandt is one of my favorites, and my audience knows that.
Yes.
Okay. And she says, if you cry, you cry with an agenda. If you get mad, you get mad with an agenda. What's mm-hmm. going? What's the next step after I'm mad? After I tear up my whole house, let's say, and I'm mad. I had this terrible divorce, and I'm mad, and I tear up the whole house. Now, what is the next step? I'm going to clean my house.
Well, yes, you clean house until
exactly.
Like in my case, the anger showed up, and so there was screaming and pillow punching, you know, with all my windows closed, so my neighbors could hear me. And then there was the day where shame showed up.
And oh my gosh!
My God.
And when they knock, and when shame knocks on the door, it's like, oh, take
and
out the ice cream,
everybody,
start
you've
eating.
Got to look at all these things,
yes,
because if you don't, if you don't face them, a lot of people are afraid to face their fears, right? Their fear that if I get angry, I'll never stop, or if I cry, I'll never stop, or if I feel shame, it must be because I did something wrong. Maybe that's true. But this doing it with an agenda, I love that because the agenda to me would be to get through it, to release the emotions so they no longer run your life.
Exactly. And that's it. What's really important. We're supposed to acknowledge our emotions, go through the process of our emotions. And now that I've done that, you know, I'm okay. I cried. I got mad. I'm embarrassed. Okay. I'm shameful. Okay. Now, where do I go from here? It's always asking yourself, what do I do after here? You can't continue the same for so many years. And we get caught up in the shame. The shame is what messes us up. And the other one is secrecy.
Oh, yeah.
Secrecy is what gets us. I can't, you like you said, I covered the window so my neighbors didn't know what was going on. That is the killer. That's the killer. Let's talk about secrecy.
So, a lot of us, women, you know, I mentioned earlier because, and you've definitely gone through it, Edna, of if there's been a violation of any kind, I don't even know where this thought form began, but we immediately think it's our fault.
Yep.
And then we have to, we can't tell anybody about it.
No.
You know, and that just, what that does is when we go into secrecy about a situation that's occurred or, you know, whatever, it keeps it tight to us, right? It almost like ties into our energy system and keeps the thing that we're ashamed of and we're keeping as a secret part of our energy. I mean, as I'm talking, I'm seeing this whole energy grid that just kind of
I just did that too.
Under the skin. Under the skin.
And that's
because the secret, it's not important to keep that stuff a secret. This is why so many women have been speaking up for the last several years, decade, because it's no longer, the secrecy is no longer, it's not okay.
It's not important.
The violations or the shaming or the blaming, none of it is okay. Because here's the thing I think, Edna, is I've just been studying on this. When an individual perpetrates a harm or hurt, a violation on another individual, they feel it too, but they ignore it. And what happens is it continues to then amplify in both individuals. So that it grows.
And it connects and you.
It connects you, which who wants to be connected to that? I had to do a lot of cutting of cords with my ex-husband. And one morning I got up and I'm puttering around my kitchen and I felt completely constrained, like there was a fisherman's net around me.
Right.
And I thought, oh my God, these are cords that he wasn't even in the house anymore. You know, he keeps sending out cords to try and reel me in again. And I energetically cut those cords and I did that for a decade. Cut. Every time I feel him yanking at me, which he does occasionally, just cut that cord, because that you do not want to be tied to the person that was that person that perpetrated harm against you.
Right.
Because the only way for you to be free of that, I think, again, is to get clear within your heart that of who you are. And often I think women in general tend to think that we're the reason why the man did what he did, you know, because men tell you that. And we've gone so long with men getting away with it. So anyway.
No, it's not even that they're getting away with it. It's that we knew no other way. We knew.
Right. So now we're educating the collective.
That's right. We knew no other way.
By saying, hey, it's not okay.
Not okay.
No matter what. And exactly. It's been interesting when the Me Too movement started and the conversations I would have with men, because some of these men didn't even understand. I'm like, you're not a woman.
Right.
And you've never been traumatized like that. Exactly. Have you ever been traumatized?
Exactly.
Oh, well, no, nobody would do that to me. Exactly. So you can't even speak from any kind of personal experience.
Right.
And you have to walk it to know what
exactly
harm does.
And let me tell you, I came from a religious background. So I spent 29 years in a church setting, a religious setting. And before I got into the church, I was a model, and I actually won, I think, Miss Long Island or something. I was a model. I did all those things. I always loved earrings.
Oh, it's,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the outward dressing as, you know, it was just outward dressing. So, Joyce Meyer's always talking about, you know, women are like Christmas trees, you know. You dress the outside up, you know that the good stuff is on the inside because the outside is dressed up.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a one situation where I was wearing earrings. And so, you know, in the religion I was in, they didn't allow earrings. You know, the male made that decision. And so we had this whole big meeting, and I never knew, you know, I'm oblivious because I've been doing it for like years, you know, I'm like, and so I guess the earrings I had on was so noticeable that like, okay, we need to have a meeting on this. So showed up on Friday night and was a discussion about my earrings. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. You don't know the first thing about women. When being a woman, you know the man part, but you've taken advantage of the woo part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I said, this is not somewhere I need to be. And just standing up for earrings changed the dynamics of what women in the church felt. They were like, you stood up and said that? And I was like, I don't think I was saying anything to stand up to say anything to anybody, but I know that the conviction in me, and that goes back to what your voice, your voice is so important. You can change a nation. You can change the dynamics. You can change the trajectory. Trajectory of who people are. Just by your voice.
It just takes one.
Exactly.
This is the thing I teach all my students and clients, and that I have to remind myself during my morning daily spiritual practice, is that it just takes one to create a ripple.
Yeah.
And I've been working this, especially the last year, to heal my body of diabetes.
Yeah.
Many people, doctors are going, yeah, you can't do that. Well, I'm going to prove everybody wrong.
Exactly. You can do it.
I'm going to prove spiritual principle that you can heal your body.
Absolutely.
You can heal yourself. You can change
Absolutely.
Your life. And it just takes one stone in a pond to create a ripple.
Total ripple.
To be that stone, if you will, of
exactly.
love.
Exactly.
And just what I'm seeing is the more I am love, the more I love myself and the more I radiate love, the higher the vibration of love amplifies.
Right.
And it affects everyone. It really does. You can, one person can make a whole difference on the planet.
I believe it.
I don't want anybody out there that's listening going, yeah, but you guys could do that, but I can't. No,
you can do it.
We all can.
All of us
can
do it. Absolutely. You know, I like that you said that the ripple effect. I always talk about that. Everything's a ripple effect. Being, you know, women, you have to be that ripple effect. But I'm going to transition into, you know, the business part of it. We both, Susan and I, have talked about representing who you're going to talk to. So as she, what I heard Susan say, as she's healing, she's teaching.
Yes.
As she's working on herself, she's teaching. You can't do it. Your brand, you are who you are. So what you portray, you're going to get. Right?
Yes.
Susan is working on herself. And she's teaching as she goes through something, she's revealing revelation to someone else. Same thing with me. As I reveal, as I work on myself, I'm revealing new steps for someone else. In your
exactly.
brand, in your brand, what you do in your business reflects. So if you're a manager and you have unhealed portions of you, guess what happens? Ladies and gentlemen, unhealed portions pour out as a manager on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a generational habit that you learn from a pattern of screaming, your parents screaming at one another, guess what you're going to do to your people at your job that you manage? You're not going to talk to them. Because you didn't heal, you didn't heal that part. You're going to yell because that's what you learned. And you create that pattern continuously, even in your business. And yelling doesn't really mean that you could be yelling. Is that right, Susan?
Some people what I've noticed is that the people that yell the loudest are usually the ones that never got heard in their family of origin.
There you go. Say it again.
Or they were abused and told to be quiet. So they don't even know how to modulate that anger and that yelling.
That's right.
Because they were never given an opportunity to practice.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you brought up that the idea of business, because Edna, I really believe what's occurring right now on the planet, and we're watching it in the chaos of our country in particular, and all the stuff that's been showing up the last few years. We've moved from the masculine, the divine masculine, which was ruling the planet for the last several centuries,
mm-hmm.
before 2000, more than 2,000 years ago.
Right.
And that divine masculine is a hierarchy, right? There's a guy at the top, right? CEO at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a pyramid and all the worker bees at the bottom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing is the chaos that's happening everywhere in the United States, I can only speak to, but is because that paradigm is collapsing. It's collapsed. And out of chaos, the only way for something new to be birthed is out of chaos.
Right.
Things have to fall apart for something new to come up. If you keep trying to put something new on top of the old, you're just, I was going to say a bad word. Sorry.
That's okay. I like it.
You're just building on the old stuff, right?
Yeah.
And anybody who's built, well, the Romans and then the Italians built on top of the Roman, more
right.
Roman stuff. But what happens is then the foundation is always faulty. So for something new to be birthed, chaos has to come first. It's actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's coming now that we're beginning to see with all the women standing up with and for each other,
mm-hmm.
is the divine feminine is now, that energy has moved in to clarify individuals and groups.
Gotcha.
Because leadership is no longer a hierarchical pyramid thing. It will become, and we're beginning to see it, a circular thing.
Right.
Because women for centuries always sat in a circle, whether it was a quilting bee,
right.
or they were making baby clothes. And that's when all the secrets of being a woman was shared, and I say the word secrets because men weren't interested. They just wanted to use you. They didn't care how mm-hmm. you birthed a baby. But women would share with other women, and they did that on a circle. And when leadership of companies begins to move into this paradigm of being on a circle, Margaret Wheatley talked about this, 15 years ago. She would go into corporations and help them restructure, and it was always about having everybody in a particular department. Everyone needed to be seen and heard. So that meant they needed to have their say and be respected for whatever they thought. And the collective could decide how they're going to move forward. Not by consensus, but at least being seen and heard. So all, and if this goes back to being a divine, a spark of the divine, you know, we all come in with these gifts that during the course of our lifetime, we uncover. And when you're working in a circular fashion where everybody gets to have a word, mm-hmm. gets to say what they think, the creative juices begin to flow more. And then there's collaboration and cooperation.
Right, okay.
Because everybody's being seen and heard. But when it's a pyramid and there's the CEO at the top with, you know, the bank accounts in Switzerland and the Bahamas and, you know, they're not seeing how the person at the bottom is actually really contributing. And therefore, they disempower those people because they're not being seen and heard. So this new paradigm that's coming through and being birthed, people don't understand. I remember telling my mom several years ago, "Mom, this is what's happening." And she's like, "Well, that just means that nobody's in charge." And I'm like, "Yeah, but what if everybody gets to have a choice to be in charge? What if we all take turns?"
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That's what our country was supposed to be, you know, taking turns, being elected. And yeah, it hasn't worked that way.
No.
Sorry to go in that way.
No, that's absolutely correct. That's all of what you said is correct. So now, audience, you now got a whole feel of Susan Burrell, the author, podcaster, intuitive healer, spiritual guide, and she is definitely the epitome of live an empowered life. She doesn't talk the talk. She doesn't talk it. She's walking it, and she's talking it, and she's teaching it, which I love. And that's
Thank
what we
you,
love.
Linda.
We really love that. So we want to get to know you on this part, and we want to get to know you by asking questions about now you. We've heard about your business. We've heard about what you do and what you stand for. Now, I want to ask you, if there was an opportunity for you to create a billboard in California now, where the heat is, what would it say?
If I could create, I'm sorry, you...
A billboard.
Oh.
Or your own. What would it say?
I'm thinking. Na, 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 na. Oh. Well, the first thing that came to mind is live an empowered life. But that can be elusive for people. So I think really it would be life is to be lived joyously.
Oh, good. Good. And why would you say that?
Because that's, well, again, like you just said a few minutes ago, I'm learning as I go. And I'm now in the phase of my life where I'm like, I just want to have fun. I just want to have, I told my team at the beginning of 2022, I said, I did deep dive all 2021, healing my body and my mind and my mindset. And now I'm like 2022, I just want to have silly ass fun.
I want to tell you, I always tell my audience this and they know it. My mom asked me when I was 9 years old, what do you want to be? I said, well, I don't want to work hard. I want to have fun. She said, well, you can't have fun working. I said, that's what I want. And I always said, live abundant, happy, and have fun. Those are my three things. Live abundant, happy, and have fun. I don't know. This is such a confirmation for me speaking with you. And I'm so glad that that billboard says that. I thank you for that. It's such a confirmation for me right now. But I wanted to ask this next question to you. If you had to pick a last meal, what would it be?
Oh, that's hard.
That's oh, you're really greedy. Hard. You're greedy.
Yeah. Well, I think off the top of my head, I think it would have to be a really beautiful croissant with some really stinky French cheese.
Ooh.
And a good glass of Bordeaux.
Ooh. Love it. Love it. Just the fragrance alone and everything just together and the melting in the mouth. I feel it. I got it. I'm with you on that. That is an excellent last meal. Audience, you've heard so much amazing information from our guest today, Susan. I'm going to ask Susan to give us the best tip she can share with any woman in the world about business. Give me the final words and your final thoughts on that.
I think the best thing you can do is begin your day grounded in the truth of your being, in your spiritual awareness that you are always cared for. And once you ground in that and you know that you are loved beyond measure, then everything in your life, work, relationship, all just can naturally flow and be fun.
That's right. Well, Susan Burrell, this has been amazing. And I'm sure my audience is going to love it. And I'm sure your audience is going to love it as well. And I just want to thank you for being here. I want to thank my audience for being here. We have been on podcasts for 50 minutes right now. Now, you noticed some juicy stuff. I want you all to share. I want you all to like. I want you to subscribe. I want you to send it around to the world that Susan Burrell was on my show, because she's all about that. But remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But remember always to have in your life abundance, happiness, and fun. This is Edna White signing off, and my guest, Susan Burrell.
Thank you so much, Edna.
Signing off, and we wish you the best. Audience, we'll see you the next week. Bye for now.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.